Hello, I'm Wayne, and this is my Iron Maiden podcast, sponsored by After Eight Mints, minty cream chocolate squares, thankfully no longer available in white chocolate. On these shows, I look at the songs of Iron Maiden and how they impacted on my life growing up as a boy in 1980s and 1990s Birmingham. I look at them today as well, see how I feel about them as a man. This week, I'm looking at a song called The Apparition, which is track 9 on the Fear of the Dark album. Last week, I looked at Chains of Misery and had some feedback on the show. I had a message from Casper, who was commenting on the fact that I said when you get to the top of Mount Snowdon, you can go to the cafe and have a cup of tea, and it's a nice feeling after the hard slog up the mountain. Now he says, why don't you just take a flask with you in your backpack? Well, obviously I know about the fact you can take refreshments with you up the mountain. You can put nuts and snacks and drinks in your bag. But that feeling of sitting down in a sheltered place, it's more than just having a cup of tea. So I feel like you're trying to be clever, but you're not. I had a message from Julian Fawcett, who was commenting about Trevor and the Frosted Shreddies dilemma. He says he remembers that Trevor used to use Shreddies as rafts for his Rice Krispie people. So what can he do this with Frosted Shreddies and imagine that they were sailing around in the snow? Well, this is a good idea. Maybe I'll suggest it to him later. The confusion over the colour of the boxes of Shreddies led to yet another food discussion on Twitter. We had the colour of Lurpak tubs, and that's butter. We had the colour of salt and vinegar crisp packets discussed and the differences around the world. This is all very interesting, but there was nothing discussed about the song Chains of Misery, which was the song covered, of course. Now, admittedly, I haven't seen this much enthusiasm in the comments about an episode since the Toffee Crisp debate in the Killer series, and it makes me think that maybe I've chosen the wrong subject to cover for a podcast. Anyway, let's look at The Apparition. And, yeah, it's another song with the at the start, written by Steve Harris. But often, the songs are about an occupation. And when I say the songs are about an occupation, I'm not talking about the 1980s band the. It's just that I put the word the together, so it sounds awkward read out. We've had Trooper, A Long Distance Runner, Duelists, Assassin, even Prisoner and Fugitive describe a person. Only the prophecy breaks this law so far, and now we've got the apparition and their things. It makes you wonder why he didn't do this in the early days and have songs called The Prowler and The Drifter or even The Killers. Why was he happy with no the in the Paul Di'Anno era? People complain, don't they, that Steve Harris does what he wants, and maybe people don't stand up to him nowadays, questioning his decisions in songwriting or production. But maybe Paul Di'Anno was that person, stopping him from having too many songs beginning with the. I think these titles sound better without the. And I don't think this is because we're used to them not having the. If this song was just called Apparition, or the song was just called Prophecy, would it make a difference? On the first two albums, a third of the songs had one-word titles. That's 6 songs out of the 18. From then until now, this is 7 albums later, we've only had 6 songs in total with one word, and that's the same amount as on the first two albums. So that's nearer 10% than a third if you're doing your maths. Anyway, an apparition. Now, in the dictionary, it says that it's a ghost or a ghost-like image of a person. It might be like something that seems to be there, but it isn't really. I don't know if it always has to be a person, but maybe it should be. I think some fans wish that the song The Apparition was an apparition. So there you go. There's some comedy for you. So from this, clearly it's not seen as one of the great songs. And it might explain why I've wasted so much time just now looking at songs with and without the in the title. In an article on Loudwire, published in 2020, they ranked 165 Iron Maiden songs, and The Apparition came 157th. So that's not very good. A lot of other songs ranked that low are B-sides, and only Quest for Fire of the songs covered so far is worse than this, according to that list. Now this was done before Senjutsu, of course, but even so, I think most fans would agree that this is a reasonable placement for the song in the overall picture of Iron Maiden songs. But here I am, influencing you, before I've even talked about it, Let's see how it sounds. We get a clink with a drum and maybe a bass note as well. And then the song starts straight away. So that's exciting. And Bruce comes in with the guitars. Now I'm here, can you see me? Kiss him out, I'm out. So there you go, he said. Now I'm here, can you see me? Because I'm out on my own. So that's 5 seconds in, and we've had that one line. But basically, that's most of the song. That loop of guitar and melody that just goes on and on. So that's pretty much it. Now Bruce, being out on his own, isn't about him going out without any friends, like going to see Jurassic Park at the cinema on your own, and then realising you've accidentally spent your bus fare on popcorn, so you've got to walk home 4 miles from Birmingham to Stechford. This being on your own also isn't about being lonely or not being seen due to having like a brace on your teeth, a ginger mullet and having free school meals. That first line is a hint. Can you see me? Then he says, when the room goes cold, tell me you can feel me, because I'm here. So it might mean that Bruce is singing from the perspective of a ghost or an apparition. And here I can imagine the sleeve for Twilight Zone, where Eddie is that ghost of the woman's lover. I don't think about the cat on the bed or Mickey Mouse that Derek Riggs added. That's not relevant. In this case, Eddie is an apparition, and that song is also about crossing over to the other side, where this one is like a voice from the other side. And Bruce, or the ghost, then talks about passing through on his way to a place he'd been to only in his dreams before. Passing through on my way. To a place I've been to only in my dreams before. Now we don't know too much about the beliefs of Iron Maiden, apart from Nico, but there are often references to good and evil, and heaven and hell. But here, there seems to be a suggestion that there's a belief in the afterlife as like a ghost. I was quite interested in ghosts as a boy. There are a few episodes on the subject on Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World on TV. I used to like going on ghost trains, except the one at Dudley Zoo, because that was rubbish. Trevor had a board game in the 1990s called Ghost Castle, which I played because I wasn't scared of it. I also used to pretend I was in a band called Metal Ghost. I drew sleeves and artwork and made up song titles like Haunted Arcade and Evil Landscape. Don't look at the evil landscape. Don't even play a type. That one was about a landscape that came to life when it was night time, so it was a warning for children to go to sleep and don't play a tape, otherwise the noise might make the people in the landscape come into the real world and get you. But I don't often think about this time of my life much. I mean, that rhyme, landscape and tape, that's a bit like a Steve Harris rhyme. I realise now, as an adult, that Metal Ghost's not a very good name for a band, because ghost can't be made of metal. There is a slight change to the mood in the song, and there's a bit of a nugget of wisdom that comes from nowhere in the lyrics. It says, never turn your back on a friend, because you can count your real friends on one hand. Now this might be true, and it doesn't bother me in the slightest that Simon Rafferty's got 693 friends on Facebook, because we learn from this line that he must have only got 5 as a maximum, assuming he's still got 5 fingers. And then the next bit says, about living life with a passion, and that everything you do, do well. You only get out of life what you put in. So what's happening here then? Has Steve Harris become the Dalai Lama? It suggests that the apparition has found these things out, either from living a full life, or it's what he can see and learn now he's dead and on the other side. Maybe this apparition has come to give a warning, a bit like the ghost of Christmas past in Muppet's Christmas Carol. Now there's a list of these statements in the lyrics. This will go on a bit, this sort of generic common sense message that you get at the end of episodes of He-Man or the Jerry Springer Show. And these are the sort of things that you see, like inspirational messages that you get in those shops that my mum's friend Christine goes to, that sell signs that you put up in the kitchen. Make your own luck, it says. You control your own destiny. It's gin o'clock. Live, laugh, love. Maybe I should have used these inspirational lines from The Apparition in a Valentine's card for Fiona Gregory. Maybe that would have impressed them more. At the time, though, I didn't see these lyrics as being a guide through life, and you're probably expecting me to mention the Osborne Book of Growing Up here. Now, admittedly, that didn't have much general wisdom. That was quite specific. But here's what it said about friends.
Hi, this is Adrian Smith.
I'm delighted to be talking to you despite being on the European tour. We're back in the UK, of course, download and festival season, so great to be here. I could do a bit of fishing while I'm back, which is always a pleasure. But of course, as well as my fishing tackle in the rucksack, I've also got a flask of tea and the Osborne Book of Growing Up. So I shall read you an extract now about friends. Page 43, Growing Up and Your Feelings, subparagraph, Friends. Most teenagers make close friends, and some even fall in love. You may form a close group of friends, which can be fun. Beware of feeling that you must always do what the rest of the group do, especially if you feel uncomfortable or unhappy about it.
Now that's interesting, isn't it? And perhaps when Adrian read that, he got a flashback to how he felt with the band at the Seventh Son era. You know, he got out, didn't he? He didn't do what the rest of the band wanted. So that's good advice, and it means even more coming from Adrian Smith after what he went through. Perhaps based on these lyrics, Steve Harris should have written a section in the Osborne Book of Growing Up. His textbook language might have been good for it. Although, he'd have added the to all of the chapter headings, the periods, the breasts, the AIDS. Even though the verses are a bit repetitive, there is the odd element of change. There's a nice backing vocal where he says, die for you. Now the song's not just written by Steve Harris. It's Steve Harris and Yannick Gers. So maybe he believes in the afterlife or ghosts. It talks about some who have lived before, and this suggests like a past life or reincarnation. And I know that some people go and be hypnotised to see what they might have been in a past life. I don't think I'd like to do this, and I don't think it would mean anything to my current status. I mean, I don't think I'd go and find out that I was a podcaster in the 16th century. That seems unlikely. Now, I remember mentioning Hare Krishnas in an episode quite a while ago. Sun and Steel it was. So reincarnation, that theme, has come up before. And in that case, it was the Life is Like a Wheel motif. You might recall that I mentioned I was impressed with those Hare Krishnas who came into the school. And this would have been around the time of Fear of the Dark, where they played some drums and chanted. Now, I did like the idea of becoming one, but you had to give up certain things. Now, sex, I didn't think that would be much of a problem at the time. Gambling, well, I could probably cope with that. But meat, I thought would be a bit too much. I mean, you know, I do like my sausages. I mean, the music's got this sort of feel of rock bands just around that time, like Guns N' Roses and AC/DC, you know, sort of classic rock, but not really Iron Maiden feel. And this goes on for 1:20 from the start of the song. And it doesn't sound like a long time, but the pace of the song makes it feel like it is. I mentioned the change in the backing vocal, but there's also some synth strings that come in, but I feel that they don't add much drama, which I imagine was the intention. Now the solo does come in, and at last something different, but it doesn't really follow what's happened before. Then there's his section at 1:49, which almost seems laughable. Now, admittedly, it's hard for me to laugh because, you know, who am I? I've got no talent. And there's surely some skill in what they're doing. But they seem to be adding too many bits to soften it. Luckily, there is a highlight that comes next with this better soul. But similarly to the last song, Chains of Misery, this is like the peak because you get that sense of foreboding as it's going back to that verse. Now, second time around, they add these extra bits at the end of the line to sort of try and involve the listener. They sort of ask these questions at the end. So Bruce says, wouldn't it? As if asking you, like, yeah, you can relate to it, can't you? It's a bit awkward how it fits in. He says, don't you? Try and engage with us so we can nod along. It's a bit like the lyrics on Deja Vu when he says, oh, have you ever had this, you know, that feeling you get when you've seen something before? Like, he wants you to sort of agree. They're addressed as if they're talking to their mates down the pub. Or it's like those mainstream stand-up comedians who are trying to get the audience to relate to the anecdotes, to get them on side for a knowing laugh.
Oh. You've seen them, haven't you? Those new Frosted Shreddies boxes, eh? Oh. Dark blue. What's that about, then?
So doing this, sort of asking the audience a question in this way, it's a bit like a children's TV show presenter, sort of a bit like a patronising leading question. And that's not good in this case, is it? Yeah, I think the phrasing's a bit awkward here, and Bruce doesn't help the lyrics with his delivery. It would be nice to know what happens when we die, wouldn't it? I believe there are some that must have lived before, don't you? I mean, if this song was from another band, and it was like their debut release, then we'd all laugh, and they'd sink back into oblivion, like Stetchford Combo Metal Ghost. The song's never been played live, which is probably no surprise based on my reaction and others' reaction. I mean, imagine standing there singing along to this, imagining that you are the apparition. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. Earlier on, I tried to whistle it when I was in the toilet, and it sounds silly in that environment too. What I've tried to do in the 1990s is try and get a balanced opinion. So those songs that I feel are not as good, I've referred to them as stinkers. I've tried to get some positive comments by going online, mainly through YouTube comments. Now last week I mentioned that Chains of Misery was put on YouTube by the band's official channel. This was good, except that comments were disabled. And the same thing's happened here with The Apparition, so this is doubly interesting. So yeah, once again I had to find a normal person's upload to see what sort of comments there were. I found one that was uploaded 13 years ago by Ivan Martinez Higuera, so thank you to him. It had 83 comments, and quite a lot of positive. So, at first, I thought this link and set of comments was an apparition. But then, let's see what you think. Rochelle Jackson Gaia said, "This song always stood out to me, and I love it. Don't understand why so many people hate it." So there you go. And Narc said, "It's one of my favourite Iron Maiden songs. The part between the solos gives me euphoria every time." Valentina Boga says, "Still sounds so fresh after all these years." Now this, and maybe Narc's, one of my favourite Iron Maiden songs, these are quite confusing comments, almost suspicious. Like, you know, those sort of bots on Twitter that are out there to try and get opinion a certain way, like, I don't know, politics. But I don't know, I don't think this was happening 13 years ago on YouTube. So, but yeah, perhaps I should accept that there is a different opinion out there. Katrina says, "Love the song. Their guitar parts never disappoint, and the lyrics in this one speak to the soul." Now, love the song, fair enough, that can happen. Their guitar parts never disappoint. That's generally good, that's a good point, and I've learned that from this album. Even on the weak songs, there's always a guitar part that makes you happy. But then, the lyrics in this one speak to the soul. I think that's the intention, but I don't believe them. I think they're just contrived and, you know, like back of a cereal packet wisdom. And in fact, later on, this same person, Katrina, does a separate comment saying, "This is some of the deepest lyrics put in a song." Now, I haven't analysed the deepest lyrics in musical history, but I don't think The Apparition by Iron Maiden would feature in many panellists' lists if they were putting this together. It wouldn't be shortlisted, would it? Deep lyrics. But again, maybe I'm being unfair and just going on my opinion. Now, yeah, there's another one here. Greenwolf6767 says, "This song needs to be like 8 hours long." Well, there's no need, is there? It already feels like it, so. I mean, the song's summed up when the way it ends, just nothing. Yeah. Now, realistically, when I think of this song, I just think of that awful verse passage. I mean, I don't listen to this song very often, so when I look at it, I think, oh, yeah, that's that one with that horrible verse. I mean, there's only two of these sections in it. They're a bit long. And the middle instrumental song, I mean, that's interesting, so it's a nice relief. And as I've mentioned, like the last two songs, The Fugitive and Chains of Misery, those instrumental parts are not ones that I'd think about. So, yeah, I'd perhaps judge the song on the lyrics and the words, and maybe that's the wrong thing to do, because here, that middle section is like luxury compared to the two basic bits that sandwich it. So yeah, it's like a luxury marmalade on some supermarket basic brand white bread. That's what The Apparition is, if The Apparition was a sandwich. Right now it's time for
Steve Harris's Diary. Steve Harris's Diary. Steve Harris's Diary. Steve Harris's Diary.
February 1992. I wrote a song called The Apparition the other day, about a ghost and that. I remember I had a strange vision once. Paul Diano appeared to me in my hotel room and told me he could travel through time. He seemed really wise. He told me, don't turn your back on a friend, even if they disappear from your life and make mistakes. He said, one day we'll be old. But the truth is, you'll still be famous and I'll be an old man in a wheelchair. And he disappeared with a laugh and a hearty wave. I think it must have been a dream, but it felt real. Next morning when I came to write it all down, my diaries had gone. I wanted to tell Rod to call the police, but when we went back 10 minutes later, they were all there back on the shelf. Maybe the empty shelf was an apparition. I've got to say I'm getting a bit restless. I'm expecting a better live show this year, and I think we need another live album. I might think about it on this tour, get some good takes, maybe do some other dates with a different set list later. I think that'll be a good decision, and so does the rest of the band.
It's Steve Harris's diary. It's Steve Harris's diary. It's Steve Harris's diary. It's Steve Harris's diary.
Right, let's give Trevor a ring.
Hiya, Wayne.
Hi, Trevor, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Although, maybe this isn't me.
What do you mean?
Maybe I'm not real.
What?
Maybe I'm an apparition.
Okay, is this, like...
Yeah, am I joking? Just a joke, Wayne. Like, because it's the apparition, isn't it? And I thought I'd do that as a bit of comedy for the comedy fans.
Yeah, very good. So yeah, we're talking about the song The Apparition. How do you feel about it?
Well, I actually feel a bit like an apparition sometimes in society. I think I'm almost unseen. But this is good. People might think, oh, that's sad for him. But I like it because I can observe society and this helps me get wisdom that I can put into my poetry.
What, so you just watch people?
Yeah, normal behaviour. We all like people watching, don't we? Sort of like a pastime. Shouldn't be ashamed to admit it.
Okay, well, yeah, it's still a bit odd, isn't it?
Well, not really.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, what about staring in through people's windows when they're watching Midsummer Murders?
That was all in the name of art. Good example. By me watching that, that turned into a poem, and a very successful one.
So have you done any people watching this week?
Yeah. I was in Starbucks, looking out the window at people.
Did you buy anything, or you just sat in the window?
No, I obviously bought something. I tried that trick of yours, where you say your name's Trevor, but didn't get much out of it.
Well, you wouldn't, would you? Your name is Trevor, so it's pretty pointless. You're hardly going to think you're a spy, apart from spying on people through the window, but that wasn't very good, because spies would hide themselves, not sit there blatantly looking at them. With a notebook. Anyway, what do you think about the song?
Well, clearly not one of the better ones. I think most people would agree with me. I don't know who would like it. I mean, well, maybe people might give it a 6 out of 10, but I can't see why anyone would rank it any higher or alongside any of the classics.
So a total stinker then?
Well, I think the middle bit's alright, the instrumental. It's a bit like a Shakespearean pastoral scene.
A what?
A Shakespearean pastoral scene.
What, like fruit pastels?
No, pastoral. Like fields. It's like light relief in the middle of a heavy play. Sort of a scene where it's in a different setting, like the countryside. And it's a bit more comedy and different style.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, earlier on, I was talking about ghosts. And I mentioned Metal Ghost, remember?
No.
That band I was in.
You weren't in a band?
Yeah, well, I was. Remember, the Metal Ghost, the sleeves I did.
Yeah, you just drew sleeves. You weren't in a band.
You liked them. I put your name on the back saying you were on lead guitar.
Yeah, but it was just pretend. I couldn't play guitar. There was no band. No songs. Anyway, I thought you were called Golden Devil.
We were called Golden Devil. You were in the band.
I wasn't.
We were called Golden Devil. Then I changed the name to Metal Ghost. I changed the name quite a lot.
Well, that's no good, is it? How are you going to get a following?
I thought you said the band didn't exist.
Well, it didn't.
Some songs had lyrics. Don't you remember? Haunted Arcade, Evil Landscape.
No. Didn't you write a song about Cindy off EastEnders?
No, I didn't. Anyway, right, let's look at something else now. We've had some feedback about Shreddies.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy about that. Have I told you?
Yeah, you told me and several other people, all the listeners.
Yeah, dreadful business.
Well, someone said, can't you use them as rafts? Because you used to play with Shreddies in your Rate My Mix-Up series. We learned that you used to like them with Rice Krispies because you could play rafts with them and transport the Rice Krispie people across the cereal bowl.
No, they don't deserve that privilege.
Well, it's just waste of food then, isn't it? That's no good. You can't keep them captive in your cupboard as punishment.
It's not as simple as that.
Well, it's just some feedback anyway, so... maybe let's not mention Shreddies again, if it's going to make you angry.
How about we talk about this podcast?
Well, yeah, that'd be useful, wouldn't it? Maybe we should tell the listeners this.
No, I mean soon, we're going to have episode 100. Are we going to have a 100th episode special?
Maybe, yeah. I have got some ideas, actually.
All right.
Yeah, I might make an announcement later in the week.
Great. What are you going to do?
Well, I'll put it on social media. Well, you know, we're talking about the apparition here. We've moved away. We're talking about bands that didn't exist and Shreddies, and now we're talking about 100th episode. You know, I know most people would rather not talk about the apparition, but I feel like we should go back to it.
Yeah, for the 100th episode, that'll be Fear of the Dark, won't it? What a great episode that'll be. What a perfect song. Imagine if it was Weekend Warrior. Ha ha.
All right, well, don't give away your feelings about Weekend Warrior, which will be episode 99. You might say that's very clever planning, all those specials we threw in randomly, just so we could get 100 episodes for Fear of the Dark. Anyone would think there was a plan.
Great, well, are you going to be like the Queen? Are you going to do a Jubilee trifle?
No, no plans for any trifles. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but obviously I've got to cover a few more songs first. But anyway, we've not even talked about your poem yet. We got a poem for the apparition? What have you got from observing people in Starbucks?
No, I was observing people out of Starbucks. I was in Starbucks.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, what have you... You know, it doesn't matter. Just read the poem.
Okay. She took me to an upstairs room. Frangipani in the hallway. Bithig was sitting coolly at the counter. But Jesse was at the market. It was Sunday. The window gave a life to our surroundings. A crowd outside, to a penny. Insignificant. I was lost again. So many emotions in a tiny room. So many. Scattered on the streets for my attention. All the things I thought I'd lost and never noticed. A life for sale with faded photographs. If there was heartbreak, he never showed it.
What on earth was that?
An emotional poem.
What about? It was just random things. I couldn't work it out. What's a bithig?
What?
At the start he said bithig was sitting coolly at the counter.
Yeah, bithig's a girl's name, a Welsh girl's name.
What's that got to do with an apparition anyway? What on earth is it?
It's about a shop on Columbia Road in London.
Aye?
Yeah, it's a shop that I like going to. Columbia Road, it was only ever open on a Sunday, and it was Bithig and Jesse who owned it, and it was just full of wonderful things. So amazing. I just was entranced in it, and I couldn't think straight. It just was amazing, and then it's not there anymore, and I wonder if it was ever there. Maybe it was an apparition.
So what did they sell?
It was handmade things, trinkets, and... craft things.
Okay, so it was about a shop then?
Yeah, how it took control of my thoughts and I forgot everything. I noticed the crowd outside. And listeners will know the reference to Dante's Inferno and T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland. Once again, linking my poetry with the work of Iron Maiden.
Okay. So anyway, this Columbia Road in London, isn't a shop like this in Stechford? Couldn't you have been more local? I don't know why you've got to go to London.
No, I like it. I like London. And Columbia Road, it's like a magical place. When I went, there was people selling cookies from kitchen windowsills. You know, people's houses. It was like going back in time. There was a couple dressed as Peter and Jane from those books.
What, children's books?
Yeah, they had those sort of clothes. It was amazing. I loved it. It's a shame it's only open on a Sunday.
Yeah, okay, well, I think we've spent enough time. It seemed quite a long poem compared to your usual stuff. Good. Well, next week we've got Judas Be My Guide, so let's see what you've got for that then.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Great, okay, I'll speak next week.
Okay, thanks, Wayne. Bye.
Right, you can follow me on social media. I'm at Wayne Maiden on Twitter. I've got a Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, I'm probably lurking about the internet in other places, but not in a creepy way. Yeah, okay, the end of the episode coming up, and I'll have a new feature here called Wayne Wraps It Up. It's just come to me. Although it's not an acronym, and anyone thinking I'm going to do a rap like T-Rev, fortunately I'm not going to do that. Anyway, let's look at the apparition. Now, sometimes I credit Iron Maiden for taking risks and doing things that aren't obvious, because they can be criticised for doing the opposite and doing what you expect. So at least, again, this is a change. And as far as the structure goes, there's no chorus, so that's good. But ultimately, the vocal sections drag, and I'm not interested enough to pay attention to the lyrics when it's going on, whether they're good for the soul or deep or not. Now, this run of songs is probably the worst in Iron Maiden's history. This is side 3 of the album, and, yeah, the worst side as well as the worst run of songs. If I'd been covering the second half of this album during lockdown with the pandemic, I don't know if I'd have carried on. It might tip me over the edge. Listen to this, or Chains of Misery on repeat while I sat in the house waiting for the supermarket delivery man where half the shopping was missing because it's out of stock. That would have been a nightmare. Well, I've said the instrumental lifts it, and overall that part is a decent listen. There's also an element of the fact that perhaps I just threw a few ideas at it in the hope that something would work. So I don't know how convinced I am by this argument, and I still probably would agree with that article where it's in, you know, the bottom 10 songs of Iron Maiden history. It's not for me, but clearly on YouTube there are people who do like it. Right, so join me next week. I'll be here for another episode, episode 98, getting close to that 100th episode that Trevor spoke about. He knows nothing about the plans, but I'll be talking to him this week, and then I'll post them on social media later on. So yeah, look out for that. News coming thick and fast, and I'll speak to you then. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. You can do what you want to if you try.